Going live, you're live. What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live from LiveX, back in New York City. It's Monday afternoon. The combine is but a distant, hazy memory. And jumping on to just talk to you fine folks, Packers fans worldwide. Mock drafts. Oh, my gosh. So many mock drafts. All the mock drafts. A billion post-combine mock drafts all over the internet for Packers fans and NFL fans in general to peruse. Interestingly enough, I think one of the biggest kind of movers and shakers, so to speak, it's got to be the position the Packers draft in all these mock drafts has, you know, I think we saw inside linebacker, we saw wide receiver, we saw offensive tackle, kind of a good mix leading up to the combine. After the combine, it looks like everybody's got the Packers going wide receiver. Mims in particular being the favorite. I did see, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah's mock had Josh Jones, the offensive tackle from Houston, going one pick before Green Bay. And I tell you what, if he makes it to 30, I think there's a good chance he might be the pick. But we'll see. Mock drafts are fun to talk about. They stir conversation. That's the whole reason for reading them and talking about them. And they don't mean a whole lot. And they will change. That's the fun part. This lead up now. This month or so plus till the draft. Good times always. Hello to everybody in the comments section. Bud, what's up? Evan, you made it. What's up? Carlos, how you doing? Ryan, hello. Andrew, let's go. Offensive tackle or linebacker in round one and round two. Yeah, but Andrew, see, I think that's perfectly viable. But Matt Schneidman got yelled at in the comments section for his mock draft, not selecting a wide receiver in the first three rounds. People be losing their minds. Somebody called for him to be fired over it. It's ridiculous. It's entirely possible, especially with the depth at that position in the draft, that the Packers wait on wide receiver, especially if they get a pass catcher in free agency. And I'm not talking just wide receiver. Say they pick up Hooper from Atlanta at tight end. I could see them waiting on wide receiver for a round or two. It's not insane. Jitsu, thanks so much for the super chat. Genuinely curious what it would take to jump up and grab Isaiah Simmons. Multiple future first-round picks? Yes. It would take a king's ransom. From where the Packers are positioned at 30 to get up, you have to think top five probably to get Simmons. I think his target spot right now, I think, is New York. The Giants, I believe they're at four. I'd be shocked if he makes it past New York. So they would have to include a whole bevy of future significant picks. And I don't see Gutekunst ever doing that. LOL, hope Jefferson can fall to us. I think that's entirely possible. I think it'll be interesting to see which wide receivers end up being available at 30 and how fervent the desire is from Packer fandom for them to pull the trigger there. If, you know, I think the Stephen Lambs of the world and the big headliners, they'll be gone, most likely, by the time the Packers are on the clock at 30. And I think that's a pretty, not a good reason, but I think that's a driver in why I believe they'll probably look to inside backer, because those are going to dry up much, much quicker than wide receiver are. Who is your draft crush again, Matt? That is Kenneth Murray, who you probably heard a lot about after this past week because he killed the combine, although he did have a tweak there at the run of the 40. His interview was amazing. His time at the podium was outstanding. He crushed most of the athletic testing and from all accounts did well in interviews with teams. I think you're going to see his stock start to rise and maybe get out of the range of possibility there at 30, but I still have hope. I still have hope. I'm just hoping for a beast linebacker. I think Lazard is going to take the jump. James, I hear you on Lazard. I think he is more than capable of holding down the spot opposite Devontae Adams. And when I talk about adding pass catchers, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Because if they draft someone and that person is able to contribute immediately, and I don't even think they need to be an immediate starter. I think Lazard can handle being the starter, but just an immediate contributor. We just need athleticism, speed, stuff to, you know, make defenses work a little bit more rather than these big hunkin' slower guys that, you know, the Packers roll out there year after year. I think they just need to change the dynamic a little bit on offense. Now we'll see which way Gutekunst leans as far as acquisition goes, but yeah, I'm with you, man. Teddy, don't sleep on IQ. I'm not sleeping on IQ. I've said many times here, I think Equanimeous will come in and definitely compete, but you cannot go into 2020 counting on him. He certainly displayed promise his rookie year, but that is not something you're going to build your offense around. You have to continue to get better, continue to add athleticism, explosiveness, etc. Okay, I keep seeing, Garrett says, okay, I keep seeing people slash articles saying Green Bay is going after Littleton, OBJ, Hooper, Kowski, or however you spell it. Can you give us some sanity? Grow that beard out, man. Oh, well, you know, maybe. I get lazy enough again, I'll grow it out. Well, now, OBJ is, that's a pipe dream. I haven't seen anything on that. But Hooper, yeah, the interest is legit there. Littleton, I think there's interest. I think what Bill reported was that he is their number one backer, I believe, in free agency, which I don't think that's a surprise. But as far as how in they're going to be on Littleton, I'll be very surprised if they get involved in any kind of bidding war. And I do think he is going to get paid big money on the open market, which is why I think the Packers won't go there. But I think they'll make the call, and they'll definitely let him know that they're interested. And as far as who else did you list? Oh, Kwiatkowski, Nikowski. I was the one who reported that they will be in on him when he hits free agency. I think he's going to be a much more reasonable alternative, and I don't think they're going to count on him to be a their frontline starter slash just insert him in Blake Martinez's place. I think they'll probably do a mix of get somebody in free agency like that around that level, and then add via the draft. You got to up the entirety of the talent pool there at inside backer. Can't go in, say, sign a free agent and then play Oren Burks still. You're pretty much, you're kind of treading water at that point. They have to increase the talent level across the board at inside backer. Austin, thank you for the super chat. Happy Monday, Nags. Any players impress you in the combine workouts? Any player you see other than Murray that you would love to see come to Green Bay? There was a lot of guys who had great workouts. A lot of I think the one guy who really stood out to me was Josh Jones, the tackle I was talking about before from Houston. He had a great Senior Bowl week, and he backed it up with great workouts throughout the combine. He's a tackle who could be available to them at 30, I think, and I suspect Matt over there, The Athletic, probably talked to some of the same people I did, because I saw in his mock today, he suspects that they let Bulaga walk and get Valdir back for one more year and then draft a tackle to kind of develop. And I think that my guess is that's how they're going to go as well. I do think they're going to get Valdir back for another year. I don't think it's a done deal, but I think that's the way they're going to try to go. Ramart 103, thanks for the super chat, buddy. Hey, Nags, given the Packers seeming to go for athletic freaks in recent drafts, do you think maybe Willie Gay? Oh, well, he had a phenomenal combine. It's a possibility. I mean, the only thing that I think is out of bounds at this point at 30, as far as both prospects or position-wise, is, punter, kicker, specialist. But outside of that, nothing would surprise me. And position-wise or prospect-wise, I mean, anybody can fall, and you never really know this far out from the draft who's going to be available. But, I think there's a definite possibility. How realistic is signing Hooper? I think it's fairly realistic. He is going to get pretty significant interest, and I think it's going to depend on how Gutekunst wants to allocate that cap charge. Obviously, it would have to include cutting Jimmy Graham, which would free up about between eight and 9 million. I think that it's possible. They'll definitely be in the mix. Now, I think there's going to be a lot of other suitors. Maybe they use the lure of playing with Aaron Rodgers, etc. We'll see how that goes, and we'll see who else is involved. But yes, I think it's certainly a realistic option. No doubt about that. Willing to pay top money for Armani Cooper? I wouldn't be. Maybe Gutekunst is. Like I've mentioned here before, they were in on Sammy Watkins when he was a free agent. They were in on Allen Robinson when he was a free agent. So perhaps if Cooper does hit the market, maybe he makes that call. I tend to think because they already have Davante Adams, they probably wouldn't go pay top dollar for him, but you never know. I certainly think they're going to look to the draft. Cooper, to me, would probably be too expensive because I think other teams with a ton of cap space are going to throw big money at him. But that's just a hunch on my part. Let's see what we got here. Ryan, do you think the inside linebacker market will pick up where it left off? I mean, last year it kind of blew through the roof, right? And it was at that point that I was pretty sure that Blake Martinez was playing his last year in Green Bay. And from the reports that we've read over the weekend, you know, his starting asking point is $10 million a year. Now, that doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is Packers fans who have said that they think the Packers might pay it. There's no way on God's green earth the Packers are bringing him back at that price point. Now, if he hits the market and finds a lukewarm reception, maybe he comes back on a cheaper deal to Green Bay. But, I do think the market is going to continue to pick up where it left off. Cap is only going to keep going up. It's going to explode in 2 years. But, yeah, I doubt Martinez stays for that reason. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. I wonder if 33 understands the business side and would take a smaller contract for a chance to be in a Super Bowl contending team. Well, I think he definitely understands it. I think he's smart. His agent reportedly met with the Packers over the week at the combine. I think he's smart in the sense that he's got some pretty good leverage right now in the sense that he's entering the final year of his deal. He can get a sizable offer. I don't think it's going to be, you know, mind-blowing numbers, but he can get some decent guaranteed money right now after putting up the numbers he did in 2019 and get a little security at a position where you don't generally get big money unless you're one of the marquee three-down backs, which he could be if the Packers wanted to, but I think they're smart to limit his touches in that regard. I think they're going about it the right way. I think Tom Silverstein wrote a pretty good piece about it at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel over the weekend that I would encourage you to check out. I think Jones knows that he's got a good spot. He's in a productive offense. He's a big part of that offense. And so he's valuable, more valuable probably in Green Bay than he would be elsewhere. He's going to take advantage of that. For next year, do you think there is more potential in the draft versus free agency for a, quote, difference maker for next year? I mean, traditionally, you want to draft those guys, right? You want to get a guy, develop him in your own program. And I think there's a chance the Packers could do that with this wide receiver class. I don't think there's someone that's going to come in and be a blue chipper right away from the free agency class for the Packers, realistically. Now, could they go get an Amari Cooper and he would make a difference? Absolutely. But it would not blow up your cap, but it's going to significantly strain it. I do think they'll look to the draft just because it's cheap labor, right? You hit on somebody at 30, 60, whatever, second round, whatever. I mean, you've got him under contract if he's a second rounder for 4 years at a very significantly reduced rate comparative to whatever you're going to pay on the open market for a free agent wide receiver. Let's see. I'm glad the virus didn't hit during football season. They'd be looking to shut down stadiums. George on top of it, as always. I love Packer fans that think we can just get all the expensive people in free agency. Well, Joseph, last year they went out and spent a ton of money in the first 48 hours of free agency. So, you know, Gutekunst maybe raised expectations a little bit. I hear you, though. They are in a vastly different spot cap-wise this year and their ability to maneuver. I do think we're going to see some moves leading up to free agency here in a couple weeks, i.e. the Jimmy Grahams, Lane Taylors of the world start to get cut and freeing up some space so they can be a little bit more proactive. But I'm with you. I don't expect a ton of big signings. I think it'll be a lot of wave 2 and 3 type free agency signings this season. We're probably not going to re-sign Fackrell, says Ryan. So that leaves the Smiths and Gary. Do you see the Packers picking up another edge rusher in the draft? Ryan, I think it's kind of a sneaky need for that very reason. Going with four guys last year as it was is kind of light. And as you indicate, Fackrell has been, you know, as reported, wants to test the market for obvious reasons. I do think they got to find somebody. Now, maybe it's in the draft, but maybe it's in free agency. Again, like I was just talking about, maybe one of those wave two or three guys. And we're getting closer to the time where I can really start to talk about that, dive into it. We've started to see franchise tags applied, started to see re-signings happen. But yeah, I think there's definitely going to be some additions there, just because, you know, you can't go into the season with three guys. There's just no way that happens. They're going to need to find somebody to fill that role. And I think obviously Gary is the one who steps up and gets a lot more playing time. They need that to happen for the 12th overall pick last year. But yeah, they're definitely going to need someone to add to that mix, to that room. Let's see what we got. Does anyone watch tape anymore? I do. Jonathan Taylor reminds me of Amon Green. Thoughts? That's an interesting comparison. I do think he can have a similar effect as Amon Green. I do think he can probably, he's a better receiver than most people give him credit for, and doesn't have the fumbling problem that Amon had. I would love to see him in the Packers offense, and that would make things really interesting when it comes to time for Jamal Williams to re-up. Is Lane Taylor a better guard than Lucas Patrick if they swung Turner out? Matt, that's a really good question. I think he was 2 years ago. He got off to a rocky start last year, though. I don't think Lucas is, you know, a blue chipper by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't think the drop-off is that precipitous. So I think that may be kind of the driving force behind moving on from Taylor if that's what they choose to do. I think Taylor's probably a little better, but not significantly. How about them Bucks? I don't pay attention to basketball until the playoffs start. Really hope Gary develops his handwork on rushes. It seems like he just tried to run past the tackle every time he rushes. I don't know about running past. I thought he used a lot of bull rush last year. I think the one kind of overarching thing you could talk about it when it comes to his game is he definitely needs to find some, you know, go-to alternatives. I think you saw a lot of bull rush. You saw a lot of just try and get by on athleticism. You know, and that's to be expected. He's a young guy. But hopefully we see some growth there, some development as far as finding alternatives if guys are shutting something down or setting guys up to add stuff later in the game, etc. Those are the kind of nuances you hope to see as guys mature and go in from year one to year two. All right, buddy, I'm going to have to jump. I can't thank you guys enough for all the questions. I'm sorry if I couldn't get to yours. 229 of you hanging out on an off-season Monday. You guys are the best. That's why we do this. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Hit like, hit subscribe. And hey, if you like what we do at Cheesehead TV, please consider giving us $5 a month on our Patreon page, patreon.com/cheeseheadTV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a good night, guys.